series we started last week called Find My Friends. Are you excited to do that this morning? Are you excited to study the Word of the Lord? Come on, now, I can't hear you. Are you excited to study the Word of the Lord? There we go. We're going to jump into this. I want to talk to you today about the second part of this. Get on mission. Get on mission. Today, as we get started, yesterday I was driving down the range line, and at the last minute somebody pulled out in front of me, and I hit them. I T-boned their car, destroying the front end of my car. I hit my head really hard on the front of my car as well. And so some of you have been asking me, what's this big red spot on the middle of your forehead? Now you know, right there. Okay, but, you know, I found something. I was on my way to meet Dr. Baker, who attends our church, and we had a meeting scheduled. And so he was just around the block, and he came over there, and he took me to the hospital. He made a phone call on the way to the ER, and when I got there, he took me in the back door of the ER, and they were waiting on me there. I had about three people waiting on me there, you know, putting this gorgeous gown on me while they, you know, take my clothes off. And then they're, like, getting my information, and they're like, we're going to do a CT scan, do a full-body X-ray, and check you out, but make sure everything's okay. And I was in the door, checked in, all the information, did a CT scan, did a full-body X-ray, came back and told me everything's going to be okay, you're just going to be sore from the whiplash, and I was out in almost 30 minutes. Can you? That's a miracle right there. How many want to say that's a miracle? Be in and out of the ER in 30 minutes. That was just a miracle, right? So, but, you know, my car was messed up, and I was thinking about, you know, when I first got that car, I was like, man, I love this car. It drives so nice. And don't you like it when you get a new car, you know? And then about a year or two later, you're like, man, I wish I was driving a different car. I wish I had a new truck, or I wish I had this style of car. I wish I had an SUV. I wish I had something like did this, or I wish I had a sports car, or I wish I had bought a convertible. I mean, all these different things. We get bored easy, don't we? I mean, we get bored with our routines. We get bored with what places we eat out. We get bored with our exercise routine. We can get bored with Netflix. I remember when Netflix came out, we're like, man, all these different options. And now we're like, there's nothing to watch. Are any of you like me? It takes me longer to pick out a show than it is actually to watch the show. You know, we can get bored so easy. And if I'm being honest and candid with you today, I would believe the fact that a lot of us get bored spiritually as well. Doesn't mean we don't love God. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong. But at times we lose the motivation or inspiration to really do something for God, to really feel like maybe we're just in a little bored state spiritually. And let me say this to you today, that the best way, look at this, the best way to fight spiritual boredom is to get on mission with God. If you're bored, it's because you're not on mission with God. Because when you're on mission with God, when you're on His mission and realize He's given you a mission, your life will be an adventure after an adventure. It'll be joy. It'll be exciting. Things are happening to keep you motivated. And man, it's about being on mission with Him. What is our mission? Let's go ahead and see what Paul told us here. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We talked about it last week. Let's revisit it this week. I love the way the message says 2 Corinthians 5:20. God has given us, that's us Christians, the task of telling who? Telling everyone. Let's say it together. Telling everyone. That doesn't mean I just tell people I like. I tell people who have the same color as me. I tell people who come from the same social class or just in my circle. No. Our job, our mission, is to tell everyone what He is doing. We're what Christ, let's say it together, representatives. One more time. Representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences with God and to what? Enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. What are we telling them? Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. So my mission is to simply tell people that God has already did what it takes. God has already, through the cross of Jesus, He's built the bridge that you and I, sin separated us from God, but because of the cross of Jesus, There has been a bridge built that through Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross, all who believe in Christ, all who confess Him as Lord of their life, they can now walk and be a friend with God again. They can now walk in that friendship with God. They can walk in a relationship that will change their eternity and change their life forever. This is our role in the kingdom of God, to declare that you are a friend of God. Tell people, man, you're a friend of God already. God could, yeah, He could. God can, yes, He can. Not me. Yes, He did. God wants to be friends with all of us, not only here, but everyone. The Bible says His goal, His desire is that none would perish, but we would all walk in this relationship that comes through His Son, Jesus. This is why Easter is so important, because on Easter, we're going to kick off a red series. It's going to be a time of talking about, on Easter morning, I'll have an illustrated sermon here. We'll be talking about the power of red, the power of Jesus' blood in our life that came through the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then after that, we're going to be going into the grace of God. It is going to transform your life. Every Christian needs to hear it. Every non-Christian needs to hear it. That God's grace, how big it is in our life and how it sets us free to live for Him, to be His representatives. Because we think we're not qualified. Some of you, raise your hand if you say, that's me. I feel like, I know God wants me to, but I don't feel qualified. Anybody here, raise your hand, that's you? Yeah, I've been there before. You know, and I'm going to share evidence today that you are qualified. I'm going to give you some great evidence today and show you that you are qualified to be His representative and to tell people. We're going to go back to John chapter 4 today. We're going to look at the woman at the well that Jesus encountered. We talked about it last week because we started the story. We look at the Samaritan woman that Jesus met in the noon hour of the day. The reason why this is important, first of all, she was a Samaritan, meaning she was a half-breed. She was half-Jew, half-Gentile. So therefore, Samaritans were not accepted by the Gentiles, and they were not accepted by the Jews. They were seen as outcasts, low-life, scum-of-the-bucket people, because they left and they inbreeded. And so they were seen as the outcast of people. So if you were a Jew, you couldn't talk to Samaritans. If you were a Gentile, you couldn't talk to Samaritans. So for Jesus to be talking to the Samaritan woman was very significant. Also, she was there during the noon hour. Why was she there? Because Jesus, while He was having a conversation, said, hey, where's your husband? And she said, well, you know, I'm not married. He goes, what? He goes, I know you're not married. He goes, you've been divorced 5 times. He goes, and the guy you're living with now, you're not married to. And so she was the woman that when she went early on, like the people normally would go, the women would normally go early in the morning or late in the evening to draw their water, that people would be like, pss, 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 pss. Honey, shut the door. Get back inside. Hide your husbands. Hide your kids. That woman's coming down the street. I mean, people talking about her. She was the gossip. Everybody was talking about her and whispering her to the point where she didn't care to go out in the middle of the heat of the day to get her water, so she could just be away from the noise of people, the chatter of people. And so Jesus shows up, talks to her, asks her her question. I mean, He did so much by one question in her life. He simply asked her for a drink of water, acknowledging her, showing that she exists. He wasn't afraid to break the stereotypes and get past that racial divide and speak to this woman. He wasn't afraid to be seen speaking to this woman in public. He wasn't worried about his reputation. He was worried about reaching the heart of this woman. And so let's pick it up now. His disciples come back and they see Jesus talking to this woman, okay? So Jesus talks to her, talks about the living water. I am the Messiah. You can have this water. You'll never thirst again. Her life has changed. Now, His disciples come back, and they're like, whoa, Jesus, we left you alone just for a few minutes. What are you doing, you know? What are you doing talking to this woman? And look what Jesus' response was. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. So you plant, and then 4 months later, you receive the harvest. But I say, wake up. That's what Jesus said. He said, wake up and look around. I wonder how many of us today He's saying the same thing to. Wake up. Spiritually zombies walking around. Come on, we're walking around bored, no mission, no purpose. We're just in survival mode. My story is about me surviving today, and that's it. How do I get through today? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm... Okay. You know, we're there. And we're like so self-centered. And Jesus is like, no, man, get out. Get out of that zombie Christian mode, man. Get out of this bored life. Wake up. Look around you. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Then he goes on to explain, those who harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people. Are you hearing that? The harvest is people. The harvest is not how much money I can save by the end of my life. The harvest is not how many degrees I can earn in my life. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not the harvest. The spiritual harvest that you and I are called to represent and to reach and to really measure ourselves is right here. It's the harvest of people. Who are we bringing to eternal life with Jesus? Who are we letting know that Jesus has a destiny for them? He goes, listen, what joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. So whether you're just planting seeds, or whether you're the person who actually sees that person give their heart to Jesus, there's joy in both. Equal joy in both. And so you may not be the person who leads that person to Christ, but you may plant seeds in their life. And then somebody else may come along and plant seeds. And eventually somebody's planting another seed and they're already ready. Man, I've heard this now from 3 different people. I want to go to church with you. Or can you tell me about who Jesus is? And all of a sudden they get the harvest at, and there's a joy coming. Whether you receive the harvest or you plant the seed, there's something of joy that God does in our life. Jesus was on the mission. If you want to add some excitement to your life, if you want to add some excitement to your faith, begin to pray every day. Begin to pray every day for Jesus to open up the harvest in your life. This is our prayer. God, bring this to harvest in my life. God, open up the harvest in my life. What a simple prayer. God, open up the harvest in my life. Joy awaits the person who does this. Joy awaits the person who's planting seed and the person who's bringing in the harvest. It will bring joy to your life. I don't have any joy in my life. Well, what's the last time you shared your story? When's the last time you shared your faith? When's the last time you said a few kind words about Jesus to somebody? When's the last time you looked at somebody that you would normally not talk to and avoid and just simply look them in the eye with respect and say, I see you. Thank you. Or, hey, would you like to have this? Or, thank you. Can you help me with this? When's the last time you acknowledged somebody? Open up. Look around. Joy awaits this person. Jesus said joy comes to both. Both. Nothing will bring you more fulfillment and joy in your life like sharing your faith, sharing your story. Nothing will bring you joy like sharing your story of faith. Are you hearing me? Nothing will bring you joy in your life like sharing your story. Are you hearing me? Your story of faith. How do I come to accept Jesus? What has he done in my life? I'll get more to that after a while. If you're not doing this, but I'm telling you, you're missing out. If you're not on a regular basis looking for opportunity to share your story, to see the harvest, you're missing out. Number one, you're missing out on the mission we're called to. And number two, you're missing out on the joy that God wants you to experience. If you do not do this, you're missing out. You ever notice you find what you're looking for? As we looked back last week, remember when we talked about opening our focus? You will find what you're looking for. If you say, God, open up the harvest, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see the harvest. You're going to see people differently. People are going to open up to you differently. When I pray, God, open up my story to people's lives, all of a sudden, I'm going to have people asking me about my story. Hey, why are you different? Why do you smile? How did you survive this crisis in your life? Hey, why are you always at church? Hey, why can't you join us on Sunday morning at the golf range? Why are you doing this? And all of a sudden, you're going to have an opportunity to share your story like never before when you simply pray that simple prayer. God, open up my story. Let me share. Open up the harvest. And it will, some magic will happen. If you say, God, open up, what happens? You'll have a place to harvest. You'll also see places you can plant seed. I'm telling you, as soon as you start praying that prayer, get ready, it will happen. As soon as you start praying that prayer, things will happen. Let me ask you a question today. Has God ever blessed your life? Raise your hand and say amen. Amen. Okay, almost everybody in this room, you raise your hand and say, God has blessed my life. How many would raise your hand and say, God's been so good to me. I can't even imagine my life without Jesus. Yeah? Yeah. See, we have something to share. I have a reason to share. God has blessed my life. God's been good to me. I have a responsibility now. It's my job. It's my mission to get on mission with Jesus, to get on mission with what the Father wants us to do and share my story. So how do we do this? Let's get into this today. How do we do this? Number one, write this down. Invite people into your story. Invite people into your story. Last week I told you to pray. God, open my focus. Let me see those around me. Open my heart and open my story. It's amazing what happens when we begin to pray that prayer. I remember one time I was working as a manager of a store, and I had a guy who worked there with me, and I would try to witness to him and some of the other guys, just share it. And every time I did, he would always shut me down. Like, man, I don't believe in God. Man, why are you wasting your time with that? And even became a point where sometimes they would make fun of me, you know. Oh, we better not do this around the Christian, you know. And even though I wasn't preaching anything heavy to them, but anytime I would try to start a conversation about God or talk about something that was going on, he would shut me down. He goes, I don't even believe in God. That's fairy tale stuff. And so I simply didn't say, you know what, you're an idiot. Let me tell you right now, by the wrath of God. I didn't do any of that. I just simply backed away. I said, God, I'm praying that you just open the door for me to share your love to him. Let's open the door when the time is right. I prayed that prayer ever so often. I prayed for him. One night, a few months later, I got a call. It was past midnight, in the middle of the night. I got a call from him. I answered the phone, and he was crying. He goes, Gene, he goes, I don't know what to turn. He goes, I know you believe in God. He goes, I just took my little girl to the hospital today, and she's not doing well. The doctors are going to have to do some emergency surgery on her. Would you pray for her? I didn't say, I thought you didn't believe in God. I didn't say that. You know what I did? I prayed for him. And then I prayed for him. And then I followed up at the hospital, and I went and visited the family in the hospital, and I led him and his wife to Jesus right there in the hospital room. It was an amazing thing. Yeah, awesome story. Why? Because I prayed. God, just give me a chance. God, open it up. And, you know, he claimed to be an atheist, but, you know, everybody's an atheist until they get into the battle, right? I used to have an older gentleman here who was in the war. He said, yeah, everybody's an atheist until they get in the foxhole. Then all of a sudden, they're crying out to God. You know, and same thing, man. Just simply asking, God, give me a chance to share my story. Give me a chance to share with people. I remember one time, you don't have to force opportunities, but I had a guy, I called a friend. I said, man, I need someone to help me repair this. And this guy came over, and he started repairing stuff, and he was a friend of a friend, you know. And so he goes, he's a little rough, because, man, he does a good job, and, you know, he's a fair price. And so he was a good handyman. And how many know the best time to talk to these guys is when they're in your house working on one of your appliances, and you're there just with them? They want to talk, and they're talking while they're working away. And I remember he was talking away, and he was using some colorful language, you know, and I didn't say, hey, 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 time out, you're in my house, I'm a man of God, you know. I didn't do that. My family was around, just me and him there, and so he was using some great colorful language, and the conversation led, and finally he figured out I was a pastor. He was like, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry, preacher. I didn't mean to say that language, you know. I said, you're
you're fine, man. It's okay. You know, and we start talking, and they start asking me questions about the church and God, and I began to witness to him. He came back the next day to do some work, and when the conversation started back up again, and before he left that day, I'd let him. I said, hey, why don't you just come to church, man? I'd love to pray with you, you know. And he came back to church that Sunday for the first time. He came and gave his heart to God for the first time that Sunday. And then his life changed. Let me tell you, 3 months later, that man was dead. 3 months later, that man died. And I got a call from his friend and said, listen, he didn't have any family he was close to. We're going to do a great – I'm actually the one who's going to be in charge of putting together his funeral arrangements. He goes, man, you were able to lead him to Christ. Would you be able to come back and at least just do his graveside service? I said, sure, I'd love to. I went there and didn't have a lot of stories to say, but I got up and shared my own personal story, encounter with him. And he was a great friend those 3 months. Anytime I asked him to do anything, his heart was so willing to help out, whether it was for the church or for my own personal just needed help. He was always so helpful and had a great spirit, and I was able to tell how I led him to Jesus. And there was a lady in the back, and she was crying. And I recognized her, and she looked familiar to me. And when we got done, she goes, we went to college together. We started talking, and she goes, let me tell you, do you realize who you just spoke about? She goes, that's actually my father-in-law. She goes, my husband couldn't come today because they've been separated in relationship with his dad for many years. She goes, he was an alcoholic. He was an addicted person. He was very, very abusive, very verbally abusive, was a very hard man all of his life. She goes, so it does my heart good to know that in his last days, he gave his life to Jesus. He goes, that guy you was talking about, we don't know who that is. But thank you for sharing that story today. It means so much. You never know. You never know who we're coming in contact with every day. We never know. And just simply praying that prayer, God, open up the harvest. Simple prayer. God, open up the harvest. And it's amazing what people will share. Why do you believe the way you believe? Why do you go to church? How is your church different? Or how is your experience with God different? And they'll begin to ask you questions that will lead them. Why is your marriage work? Why did your marriage work when you went through this hard time of separation? Why did you do this? How did you get through this with your son? How did you get through this with your daughter? Amen. Well, all these things you go through in life, they become your story. They become your story, and God wants to use it to reach the harvest. He wants to use our story to reach so many people. Look what it says here in John 4:28. Now Jesus has told this woman everything about her life. He is the Messiah. And now she gets so excited. Look what happens. The woman left her water jar beside the well. She runs back into the village, telling who? Everyone. Now, in case you don't realize it, I got the answer highlighted right here. Telling who? Everyone. What did she say? Come and see. Come and see. Three simple words. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came in streaming from they came out streaming from the village to see him. Well, look at this. God used a Samaritan woman with three simple words. Come and see. She didn't have any theology. She couldn't name off five books of the Bible. She couldn't have told you anything other than just come and see this Jesus. I mean, and if we think about it, out of all the people God could have used, He used this woman who had been married and divorced 5 times, and the man she's living with now, she's not married to. She was the talk of the town. And now God's using this woman to save a whole village. The whole village comes streaming out. Well, God, Pastor, I know, but God can't use me, man. I got a past. Man, I struggle with this, and I struggle with this, and my temper is off the hand, or I'm addicted to this, or I got all these things, areas of my life that I'm still trying to work through. God can't use me. Baloney. God will use you if you'll just simply be willing to be used. Open up your harvest, God, in my life, and imagine what happens. I don't know what to say. Yes, you do. Come and see if God can't change your life. Come and see how God can change your life. Come and see how God's changed my life, and He wants to change your life too. Come and see. God will use you. Listen, quit disqualifying yourself based off of your own performance, because that will get nowhere. What qualifies is you to say, you know what? my life was a mess. I'm still working through some mess, but God is changing me. Jesus has changed me. It allows me to open up and share my story. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Be on God's mission and be ready to share your story. So how do you do that? I want you to, everybody to take notes. So if you're not taking notes of this next part, I want you to write this down on your phone, snap a shot on your phone, take it, write it down on your notepad, but write this down. How to share your faith in 3 minutes. All right. Sounds like an infomercial, doesn't it? How to share your faith in 3 minutes. You should be able to share your faith in 3 minutes or less. Okay. Ladies, are you hearing me? You should be able to share your faith. Come on now, I know it takes you twice as many words to share that, mate. But I want you to really practice in your mind, say it out loud to you when you're by yourself, begin to think about it. How can I share my faith in 3 minutes or less? I got just a few minutes to make an impact in somebody's life. So how do I do that? I want you to spend 1 minute on talking about my life before Christ. Number one, my life before Christ. What was my life before Christ? For some of you here, like, Pastor, I don't have a past. I was raised in church. I accepted Jesus when I was like 5 or 6. I was baptized. And man, I've always served God. Well, that's your story. You know what? I've always been in church, and I can tell you I didn't experience a lot of things because I've always been planted in the house of the Lord. And so my story is that. My story is, man, I accepted Jesus at a young age, and man, what a great decision that turned out to be. That's your story. For some of you here, your story was, man, my life before Christ, it was one of addiction, drug addiction, one of abuse, one of doubt, one of man, some major things. For some of you here, it was a life in prison. For some of you here, it's a life of mistakes after another. Whatever it is, find your story, shorten it down. They don't have to know every detail about your story, but you can just share. Man, before Jesus, this is what happened to me. This is where I was. Number two, how do I become a Christian? How did you make a decision to become a Christian? Did I attend church for the first time? Did somebody lead me to the Lord on the job? Was it a family member who talked to me about Jesus? Where was it? Did I watch something on the internet? What was it that, you know, for the first time I decided I wanted to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Where was that experience at? Where did it happen at? So talk about my life before Christ. Talk about that when I made the decision to finally surrender my life to Jesus. Where was it at? What happened? And number three, the difference Christ has made in my life today. Has God changed your life today? Has God blessed your life today? Are you experiencing a different life since you've given your life to Jesus? If so, you need to talk about it. Man, my life has been better. My marriage has gotten stronger. I've had a purpose now. God's healed me of some of the things I had. I had absent daddy issues in my life. And whatever it is, man, you can talk about those things. My life has been different since Christ. I've asked Jesus to be in my life. Simple. I should be able to share this in 3 minutes. 60 seconds each one. If that's not enough time, say, come and see. Man, you should come with me and see what God can do. Come with me and see what God can do. Come and see what God can do in your life. Everybody has a story. Let me say this again. We all have a story. And the power is not you sharing my story, not you sharing some story you heard some evangelist share. The power is you sharing your story. When I begin to share my story, it becomes anointed. When you share your story, it becomes anointed. God takes that story. Why? Because it's you. It's a first-hand account. What you're saying is simply this. Come and see. God has changed my life. Let me tell you, He's changed my life. And He can change yours. Okay, man. It's going to at least intrigue me enough to say, I want to at least come and see myself. I want to at least see if I can come here for myself because there's something going on in your life that's different. I want that in my life as well. Everyone has a story. Number two, write this down. Invite people to Jesus. Invite people to Jesus. It's okay to invite them to church. We want you to invite them to church, but ultimately we're inviting them to Jesus. We're not asking them to join a religious congregation. We're asking people to come and see Jesus. That's why it's important that you and I are, every Sunday, we're looking to be friendly. We're looking to shake hands and welcome people. Why? I want to see Jesus in me. I want people, when they come here for the first time, say, man, that congregation, there's something different about them. It's like they really believe what they're singing about. It's like they really believe what's being taught. It's like they're true followers of Jesus. We want that to be the norm. We want to invite people to meet Jesus, to see Jesus. I'm reminded of the story of the guy who broke into someone's house. The burglar broke in and he heard in the dark, he heard, "Jesus is watching you." He stops and he freezes. He listens again and he hears, "Jesus is watching you." In a strange voice, he hears, "Jesus is watching you." So he gets his flashlight out and he looks for that voice. He hears it again. It's coming from the parrot in the cage. He shines his light on the parrot and the parrot says it. "Jesus is watching you." He goes, "What's your name?" And the parrot says, "Moses." And the guy starts to laugh. The burglar starts to laugh. And he goes, "What kind of person would name their parrot Moses?" The parrot answers, "The same kind of person that names their Rottweiler Jesus. And Jesus is watching you." I get sidetracked sometimes. Okay, listen. Why? We want to invite people to meet Jesus. And he's not a Rottweiler waiting to tear him apart. He's waiting with nail-scarred hands opened to wrap his arms around them to come just as they are. Come meet Jesus. I'm telling you, it will change your life. But Pastor, I told somebody off last week at work, and now I got to go back to work and tell them to come see Jesus? Yeah. Guys, I'm sorry. I got a bad temper, and I lose it a lot, but Jesus is telling me that. I'm trying to work on that. Just come for yourself and see. Just come for yourself and see. Man, people know, I used to go out and get drunk with all these people, and now I'm inviting them to come with me. Yeah? Yeah, you are. Why? Because you're going to say, "Come and see." You guys, I'm still struggling, but you know what? Man, he's changing my life. Come and see for yourself, man. God is doing something in my life. Come and meet Jesus. We're inviting people to meet Jesus. Look what it says here in John 4, verses 39, now 42, the same story. Many Samaritans from the village, they believed in Jesus because of this woman. You tell me this woman, God used this woman, he can't use you? He can use this woman. We don't have any excuses. Because of this woman, what she said, he told me everything I did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in her village. And so Jesus stayed for 2 more days. Do you get it? Jesus is trying to avoid the crowds. He's out there, sees a ministry opportunity. The harvest is there. He simply respects her, looks at her, asks her a question. It leads to him sharing the gospel with her. She runs back, tells everybody, "Come and see." They streamline out there. They're streaming out there, pouring out there. And he's like, "Please stay with us." And he spends 2 more days teaching about the kingdom of God, converting the majority of this village came out. And he converted and they believed in Jesus because of a simple woman. They go, "Now we believe." Not just because of what we heard her say. It wasn't what she said. It's just that, who said it? This woman said it? Something probably should be said about it. This woman said it, there must be something to it. Because there ain't none of us ever reached her. We've sent down our best Pharisees to talk to her and she ain't changed. And now all of a sudden this woman is changing? There must be something to this story. Let's go find out for ourselves. They get there and they said, "Because we heard him ourselves, now we know that indeed the Savior, he is the Savior of the world." Inviting people to see. If God can use her, imagine what he can do through you and I. Imagine what he can do in your story. If he can use this woman's life with 3 simple words, how much more could he use your life? Inviting people to come and see can radically change a community. It can change a community. If we would just look at that, can you imagine? We're doing 3 services for Easter to help bring in the crowds. But can you imagine if all of us in this service and all of us in the early service, we all had that mentality, "God, open up the harvest. Let me tell people to come and see." We'd have to be running 3 services all the time. We'd have to go to 4 services. We'd have to find another place to be meeting. Why? Because the harvest is already there. Jesus said, wake up, look out, it's there. This is what I've commissioned you to do, to get on mission with him. See, you don't have to force it. Jesus showed kindness, love, and respect to people that nobody else did. You don't have to force it. Kind of reminded of the young man, a man who was sitting in the movie theater, and this lady walked up to him and said, hey, sir, is that seat next to you saved? He goes, no, but are you saved? You know, sometimes it's not very tactful, is it? You know? And, you know, we don't have to be cheesy. We don't have to be chile con queso. We don't have to be cheesy. We can simply be natural and like, you know what? Just come and see. Just come and see. Jesus has changed my life. I can tell people three simple steps. Go through them. How Jesus changed my life. This is how I came to know Jesus. Just come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. It's kind of like the Coke sign. Maybe you've seen that. I saw it the other day on the internet. That was pretty cool. Someone wrote on their business, small coffee, $5. Small coffee, please, $3. Hello, one small coffee, please, $1.75. It's all in how you approach, right? It's all in how you ask. Listen, don't be out there waving your Bible everywhere with a megaphone and yelling at people. You're going to hell. You know, you're a bunch of, you know, ratchet people. We see them all the time. Don't you? I cringe when I pass these people in the corner out there yelling at people, screaming and hollering at them. I cringe. But you know what I also do? I pull up right next to them. I roll my wife's window down, and I point to her and say, she needs Jesus. She's like, roll this window up. I'm over there laughing and giggling. Lady! You Jezebel, the makeup on, get out of there. You need Jesus. And I'm laughing. But you know what's sad is I don't mind doing it to my wife because I think it's funny. But it's not funny when they're doing to people who don't know Jesus. So we have a big responsibility to go out and open up our story. God, show me the harvest. Open up my story. Listen, you probably won't reach anyone you don't respect. You probably won't reach anyone you don't respect. Doesn't mean you agree with their lifestyle. Doesn't mean you agree with what they're doing. If they're doing things to damage themselves or to live outside of God's will for their life, you don't have to agree with them to reach them. But Jesus didn't agree with this woman for her lifestyle. He simply just took time to respect her in a way nobody else had done in a long time. Hey, can you get me a drink? Not being afraid to publicly talk to her, to acknowledge her, to ask her for help. Man, he did so much in that one statement. He showed her respect that she hadn't received in a long time. And she turns around and reaches the whole village. Last thing I want to give you as we close. Don't be so wrapped up in your story that you forget who needs to hear it. Some of us are so wrapped up in our story. Where we've been, where we're going, what we went through, what we're going through. We're so wrapped up in our own story. And we forget that someone needs to hear our story. People need to hear our story. I got a lot going on. Yeah, we all do. Wake up. Look up. The harvest is ready. I want you to bow your heads. We're talking about finding our friends. No matter the cost, we will reach the lost. Amen? Let me say again, no matter the cost, we will reach the lost. That's the heart of our prayer this morning. God, we want to reach the harvest. If you're here today, I want to ask you this question. It's the most important question you have to answer for your life. The most important question ever is simply this. Have you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life? If you say, I haven't, or maybe I think I have, I'm not sure. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that we must believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That he died on the cross for our sins. We got to believe that, okay? Okay, I do believe that. The second thing the Bible says, we must confess it with our mouth. So you believe it in your heart, and then you pray and confess with your mouth that you do make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. We won't do anything to single you out today or to embarrass you or put the spotlight on you, I promise you. But with every head bowed, can I just ask you this question? If you hear, say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it, where you're sitting? Let me know you're here. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I want to join these today. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Come on, if you haven't raise it right now. Say, today's my day. I'm ready. I'm not leaving here before I make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior today. If you haven't raise it right now. Let me see it. Thank you, guys. So what we're going to do, we have those who raised their hands. And so today, if you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer after me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along. Let's say it out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's just the beginning, okay? You need to be plugged into a church. If you don't have one, get back here, plug in. If you have one, go back and tell somebody, I gave my heart to Jesus. Before you leave today, if you prayed that prayer, we're going to invite you to stop by our hub in the back here. The garage door will be opened up. We have a free Bible as our gift of excitement to give to you today for you making this decision. We love to place that in your hand. I'm going to invite everybody to stand up. How many today said, Pastor, I'm going to begin to pray this prayer to God. Open up the harvest of my life. God, open up the story to my life. If God's speaking to you, can you raise your hands? That's me. I want God to open up the harvest. I want to be intentional about God opening up the harvest. Come on, raise it high. If that's you, don't be ashamed. Yeah, God, I'm going to say, God, come and see. I'm going to quit disqualifying myself. Some of you here, you've been disqualifying yourself way too long. God wants to use you in the middle of your mess. He wants to use you. Some of you are going to be healed as you share your story. Some of you are going to set free as you share your story. God's going to do a major work in your life. I'm going to pray for you. Raise your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that, God, you're calling us to see the harvest. May we get on your mission, God. May we get on the mission coming from the Father about looking and sharing our story, about sharing to the harvest. God, let us see opportunities to plant seed, opportunities to harvest, opportunities to share for people to come and see how Jesus has changed my life, how Jesus can change their life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit to this. We come across and come against any fear that would hold us back. We're simply going to pray, God, open the door. And the doors begin to open in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this chorus in closing. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship Him this morning. Father, I thank you. Come on, let's lift our hands one more time. Father, I thank you that, God, you're going to open up opportunities for us to share our story. God, I pray right now that, God, there's something happening this morning in the hearts of every believer here today. God, you're allowing us to see people. You're allowing us right now. We're envisioning. We're seeing the harvest, God. I pray to Father, you begin to open up those opportunities right now for us to share our story, whether it's painful, whether it's something that seems even simple to us. May it be used of you to reach the harvest. We say yes. We say yes, God. Use us. Open up the harvest. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Come on, put your hands together if you receive that word today. So my responsibility is to do what? Every morning, I'm going to get up and pray that prayer. God, open up the harvest. And be ready. I gave you those 3 points. Be ready. 3 minutes, you can share your faith less than 3 minutes or less right there, okay? Hey, we love you. If you signed up for the newcomers luncheon, we're going to have that right back here to my right in the DCY room. Feel free, after everybody gets out, to slide back there. We're going to have the food ready for you already. We're going to have a quick meal back there and enjoy some company for lunch. All those who already signed up for the newcomers, God bless you. We love you. Have a great week.